Well, grab your seat if you would. And if you're thinking, Ben, you sound awful. You didn't hear me on Friday. And you definitely didn't hear me on Saturday because I had no voice yesterday morning when I first got up. So I'm going to work my mic here today. I'm going to turn it off and on and cough and do all those things. And so just bear with me. Show me grace. I appreciate last week, Pastor Paul standing in the pulpit. He was so glad to be back in the pulpit, and we were so glad to have him back in the pulpit. Amen. It was so good to have him here. And on Monday morning, you know, he told me, he said, you know, just how such a joy it was. But on Monday night, he did spike a fever, and he is back in Jackson in the hospital there. And just ask that you continue to pray for him. They are getting everything under control. He's got a few things going on, but he's receiving all the antibiotics he needs. And Donna Kay and kids have been alongside him there. And, let me see if I can just quit doing that. That's not great. I don't know what to How about now? Is that better? All right. Good. I'm sorry about that, y'all. Didn't realize it was doing all that. So we'll address that this week. But nevertheless, so glad to be with you guys. It was good to be away last week to go and see Zachariah and to be with him. I hadn't seen him since May, and so it was good to be with him and to see him. Grab your copy of God's Word, and let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Now, when I see the name David Hula, that's probably not a name that you're familiar with. You probably don't know him. But if you're a corn farmer, you just might know him. He's like the Michael Jordan of row cropping, all right? He has this multi-generational 4,000-acre farm on the historic James River in Virginia. And he set the world record for the corn harvest for Bush. Had Nathan on standby to come preach if I couldn't do it, but I didn't give him any notes. He hadn't seen what he's preaching yet. He was just going to use my notes, but nevertheless, I'm going to take it slow. All right. But a multi-generational 4,000-acre farm on the James River in Virginia, he set the world record for a corn harvest, bushel per acre in 2023. On his contest plot, y'all, he harvested 624 bushels per acre. Now, to put that into perspective, the average U.S. corn yield is around 170 bushels per acre. So this guy is doing like three times the average U.S. corn yield. He produced more every year. Like in 2015, he first set the record at like 532 bushels. And then every year, it's almost every other year, he's broken that record. But you know, that sort of harvest, it doesn't happen by chance. You see, Hula, he kind of treats it like Well, kind of like a competition, right? A sporting event. He fine-tunes everything, all right? Now, as you think about the harvest, listen, that's not just true of corn. That is true of any harvest. He's ready. I told you he'd be ready. I'm going to keep trying, Nathan, and I might have to turn it over to you. Everything you got's right here, okay? Today, particularly when you think about the harvest of souls, we're going to begin a new series that we're calling Great Expectations, right? Seeing through the parables in Matthew 13 what God could do right here in our 20. So today we're going to begin with the parable of the sower. In fact, Nathan, would you come and read Matthew 13, 1 through 9? I've got it right here if you'd like to step here. Appreciate the help. Christy's dad always talked about tag team preaching with me. But here we go. We're really going to do it.
All right, let's read Matthew 13, 1 through 9. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, while the whole crowd stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying, "Consider the sower who went out to sow. And he sowed, and some seed fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it didn't have much soil. And it grew up quickly, since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. And still other seed fell on good ground and produced fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Let anyone who has ears listen."
All right, and skip down to 18 through 23, if you would.
All right, verse 18. "So listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And this is the one that was sown along the path. And the one sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But he has no root and is short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away. Now the one who sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But the one who has sown on the good ground, this is the one who hears and understands the word, who does produce fruit and yields, and some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown."
Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. All right. You ever see the videos of that tag team preacher where, like, one guy, read this scripture, and then he preaches for a while, and then, you know, so we didn't have to do that. No. All right. So coming out of this text, we kick off our Great Expectations series. Here's today's takeaway I want to challenge you with, and that is to expect God to bring a multifold harvest in our 20. Expect God to bring a multifold harvest in our 20. But we should expect that. But there are some things that we must do. Remember, the work of salvation, right? God does it, but we come alongside. He has commissioned us to play a role, all right? And if there are some things that we must do, illustrated in this parable, you can see them right here, all right? Expect God to bring a multifold harvest in our 20. That'll happen if we will do these four things. The first thing is this today in the text, and that's embrace our calling as a gospel seed sower. Embrace our calling as a gospel seed sower. You know, it's interesting when you look at the plant world, God has designed all sorts of different ways for seeds to spread, right? To propagate. You think about like some of these right here on this picture here, for instance. Six examples for you right here. Think about the dandelion. You know, the dandelion is a seed designed to be carried away by the what? By the wind, right? As adults, I know we don't like them. We loathe dandelions because we don't want to mess up our pretty green yards, all right? We don't want weeds in our yards. But as a kid, it's always neat, isn't it, to pick up that dandelion and watch those seeds disperse all around. Think about the maple tree. You can see that seed right there. God gave it wings so that it could drop from the tree and spin and then be picked up by the wind and carried further away from the parent tree. Or think about when you're walking in the woods. What do y'all call these things? I call them stick tights. What do y'all call them? What? Beggar's lice? I'd never heard that till I moved to Mississippi. All right? We just call them stick tights, all right, up there in Kentucky. But you got stick tights, you got kookaburras. I mean, God made those to grab a hold of you. Travel along at some place, you go, I hate these stupid things, and you take your knife and brush them off, right? Throw them down, right? So you help propagate that way. Or there's the oak tree's acorn. Check that out, right? Now, they just fall to the ground. How do they get where they're going? Well, God said, along with the acorn, I'm going to put squirrels with them. And squirrels take those, and they gather them up, and they go bury them and forget about them. And that's where the next oak tree will grow. Or think about the blackberries. Again, the seeds inside the berries, they just fall to the ground. But God put birds with those seeds, all right? And the seed is designed to survive the digestive tract so that when it later comes out the other end, the bird drops the seed wherever they are. I mean, God has done all sorts of different ways, all sorts of creative ways to get seeds spread all over the place. Now, when it comes to the gospel seed, here's the deal. He has designed you and me to be the mechanism which propagates this seed, right? Notice the very opening line of the parable, verse 3. A sower went out to sow. That's you and me in this parable, right? That's you and me, the farmer that's looking for a harvest. He's looking to gain a harvest. And he knows that if he doesn't embrace his role as a seed sower, there won't be any harvest, hardly any harvest. Now, the farmer can't say, well, look, I'm just a cultivator. Well, I'm just a harvester. I'm just a processor. No, no. If he's not a sower, he's none of those things, right? If he's not a sower, he's not any of those things because it all begins with sowing. And the same is true with the gospel, y'all. The same is true with the gospel. Apostle Paul would later highlight this dynamic in Romans chapter 10, 14 and 15. Speaking about people being saved, it says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Right? Let me say it another way. They'll never be saved unless they believe. And they'll never hear the gospel. And they'll never believe unless they hear the gospel. And they'll never hear the gospel unless somebody spreads it to them or sows it to them, right? Preaches it to them. And the sower will never sow unless they are sent. Now, beloved, let it be said today, God has sent you to sow. He sent me to sow as well, right? The Lord Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is your and my gospel seed sowing commission. And we can expect God to bring a multi-fold harvest in our 20, but we have to embrace our calling as a gospel seed sower. Second this morning, consider this. Expect God to bring a multifold harvest in our 20 if we will scatter gospel seed indiscriminately. Scatter gospel seed indiscriminately. Now, in the parable, Jesus says that the sower sowed seed on four different soil types. He sowed on pathways, on stony ground, on thorny ground. He also sowed on good ground. Now, when we read that, you and I, we might think, what a silly sower. He wasted so much seed. If he was smart, he would have just went to the good soil and did it right there. But don't miss this. This is important. The sower didn't prejudge the soil, did he? The sower didn't decide beforehand which soil deserved the seed. And he didn't walk through the field saying, oh, that ground looks good. Or that doesn't, that one looks too hard. I'm not going to waste my seed on that. No, he scattered seed everywhere. And essentially, he allowed the condition of the soil to reveal itself. See, you and I, this is important. You and I are not called to be soil judgers. Because all we can really do is look at the outside of the person. All we can really do is look at their circumstances and what we see on the outside. We can't see their heart. And that's where the true nature of the soil of their condition, that's where it lies. Think about it. If we were to only spread seed where the soil looked good, how many people would we miss? How many of us would have been missed? We certainly wouldn't have went to places like Angola Prison in West Feliciana Parish, Louisiana. That's officially known as Louisiana State Penitentiary. And you've probably heard of this place before because it's been such an amazing testimony of the power of God with the gospel. But there, on that hard, trampled ground, men went into that prison, one of the most dangerous prisons in America, decades ago, and began to preach the gospel there. And look, a salvation movement began such that in 1995, New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, our seminary, planted a Bible college inside that penitentiary and also a seminary extension there. And thousands have been saved over the years in that place. Like men like Clifford Jones. Here's a picture of Clifford. Clifford Jones, he was saved and surrendered to ministry right there in that prison. This is a recent picture of him. I looked for his mugshot. And you know what? I think it's the grace of God. I couldn't find it on the internet. All I could find was this picture, his picture of redemption. Right there, what looked like hard ground, y'all, turned out to be good ground, right? When he finished his time in Angola, he began to pastor churches there in Louisiana. And now, even to this day, he leads a church. He moved out to Oregon. And now he's leading a church there, and he's working with nonprofit ministries that work with jail ministries and all of that, just doing a lot of good work for God. If you were to look at him back in the day, you might have said the seed isn't worth it because it's not going to do anything. But there's really no way for us to know because we can't see the heart. And even if we could see the heart, isn't our God powerful enough to take a heart of stone and bring it to life? Amen? That's the kind of God we serve, right? That's the kind of God we serve. Therefore, we should never discriminate with whom we sow the gospel seed. We should scatter seed indiscriminately. And if we'll do that, we should expect a multifold harvest right here in our 20. Third, expect God to bring a multifold harvest in our 20 if we will refuse to be discouraged by places of fruitlessness. Refuse to be discouraged by places of fruitlessness. Now, if you've ever planted a garden, or some of y'all, man, y'all didn't plant gardens. I mean, y'all had fields of crops back in the day. I've heard stories right here around Collinsville, right, where it was like, you know, fields and acres of cotton and vegetables and all these other things. Depending on what kind of seed you're sowing, I mean, it can be backbreaking. It can be time-consuming. It can be expensive, can it? And one of the most frustrating things is when the seed never bears fruit. Now, this spring, we planted a garden for the first time in Mississippi. I've had one, all right, in Kentucky back, you know, years. I mean, I had one always in Kentucky, but just hadn't got around to it here yet. And so I picked a spot that I thought would weather the dry ground well. I thought it'd be a place that would stay a little bit wetter throughout the year. But in the end, this is like one of the wettest springs and summers in a long time. And so all of my seeds almost drowned. I had some stuff come up, but they were spindly and pitiful. I got a few tomatoes and a few cucumbers and a few squash. And really, that's it. Even my watermelons. You would think with all the water, right? No, I guess not, right? I need some farming classes, I think. I need some gardening classes, okay, about where to plant all these things. I'm really good at planting, but I'm really poor at harvesting. But it makes me almost want to give up gardening. You know what I'm saying? Like, I put in all that effort and got almost zero results. You know, showing the gospel can be like that sometimes, can it? Just like that. It takes a lot of effort and it takes a lot of courage to share the gospel, especially if you're doing it indiscriminately, right? I mean, you've got to work up courage to go to speak to this person that's out of your comfort zone, and you're going to speak the gospel to them, and you never know how they're going to react. And so it takes a lot of physical, mental, emotional, spiritual labor to go out and do the work of gospel seed sowing. But we have to realize, even when we look back and see those poor results and we want to quit, we have to realize that these places of fruitlessness, they're just part and parcel of the seed sowing process, right? Yeah, some gospel seed is going to be sown on hard ground and the devil's going to steal it away. Some gospel seed is going to be sown on rocky ground and then life may seem to sprout up for a little while, but then it dies away. And yeah, some gospel seed is going to be sown on the thorny ground, and again, life may seem to spring up, but then the cares of the world, it choke it out and it fades away. But beloved, you have to realize that Jesus never promised that every seed we sow will produce a harvest. In fact, this parable right here shows us, sets us up to realize that there are going to be moments and places of fruitlessness. Now, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with the gospel. Our gospel is powerful. Amen? Our gospel, it's nothing with it, right? It is able to save to the nth degree. And the problem's not us. If we're being faithful to share, it doesn't lie in us. It's not our fault. We just have to realize not everybody we invite is going to come. And not every person who initially responds is going to persevere. You and I, we may pour a lot of prayer and time and energy and love into people and see very little fruit. But fruitlessness in one place must never keep us from sowing somewhere else. Again, just imagine the parable if the sower stopped after the third place. Well, that didn't work. I've scattered enough seed. I put in enough energy. Apparently, this field isn't going to produce anything. He would have never gotten to the good soil. That's the danger of discouragement. That's the danger of discouragement, right? Because it takes yesterday's fruitlessness and turns it into tomorrow's faithlessness. We stop inviting because somebody said no. We stop sharing because somebody rejected us. We stop praying. We stop sowing. Because is it really worth the effort, we tell ourselves? But I believe with all my heart that there are places of good soil right here in our area. People whose hearts are already being prepared. They're going to hear the gospel and receive it. They're going to come to Christ and begin bearing fruit. We just don't know which soil we're dealing with until we scatter the seed. So we must never let places of fruitlessness keep us from places of fruitfulness. Refuse to be discouraged by places of fruitlessness. Keep sowing, y'all, until fruit shows up. And what a great harvest that'll be. Finally, this morning, expect God to bring a multifold harvest in our 20 if we will trust Him for the abounding produce. Trust Him for the abounding produce. Look at verse 23, the very last verse of our text here. And here we see the results that you and I are praying for. What we're expecting. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold. In another, 60. In another, 30. Y'all, wouldn't it be amazing to see these kind of results right here in our 20? I mean, can you imagine? One gospel seed being planted, bearing the fruit of 30 saved, 60 saved, 100 saved. Or what if, think about this, what if just 20 of us in our 20 got serious about sharing the gospel right here where we are and saw this kind of results? Listen to these numbers. 20 people sharing the gospel and seeing 600 saved, 1,200 saved, 20,000 saved. That's a multi-fold harvest. And here's what we need to hear. Here's what we need to realize, y'all. That only happens when God shows up. That's why we're trusting Him, right? That's why we're looking to Him. That's why we're trusting Him. Now, don't misunderstand. Your seed sowing, my seed sowing, that is a necessary condition for people bearing the fruit of salvation. If we don't share the gospel, nobody gets saved. But while your seed sowing is a necessary condition, that in itself, that doesn't guarantee the fruit, does it? Now, that only happens when God shows up and bears that fruit. Now you say, where do you see that in the parable of the sower, Ben? Well, it's not there explicitly. But Jesus gives us a sister parable in Mark chapter 4, 26 through 29. That certainly does, which is called the parable of the growing seed. Here's what Jesus says there. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and arises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So in the parable, you've got the farmer, you've got the seed, you've got the soil, which you can all see. But the growth... The growth is powered by this unseen force in the earth. And that, of course, is God. That's God. God is that unseen power, that sufficient cause that brings forth life and sustains until harvest. Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 3:6, this is where we can explicitly hear this. There Paul says concerning the salvation of sinners and the growth of the church, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the growth, church? God. God gave the growth. We can sow, we can water, we can till, we can fertilize, we can weed, we can do all of that stuff. But if God doesn't show up, there will be no harvest. There will be no growth. Therefore, we must beseech the Lord of the harvest to not only send out workers, right? Jesus told us to do that. Beseech the Lord of the harvest to send workers out into the field. But not just that workers would go out, but that He would bring about growth and fruit. We must trust Him. That's why we should never share the gospel without also praying. God, move. Open eyes, open ears. Change minds. Transform hearts. We got to trust Him for all of that growth. Anybody here thankful that it's finally fall? Huh? Yeah, I love fall. It's my favorite season of the year. Some of you, I've already seen it around the office, already pulling out your fall colors and your pumpkins and decorating like crazy. If you're looking for a big pumpkin to have as the centerpiece of your yard, you need to go see these two guys here on the screen. Check these guys out. Goodness gracious, that's two brothers. Ian and Stuart Patton from Lymington, UK, and just last year they set the world record for the largest pumpkin ever. That pumpkin right there, y'all, weighs 2,800 pounds. 2,800 pounds. They've been doing this for 50 years. The first pumpkin they ever did was 50 pounds. That's a good-sized pumpkin, isn't it? They've been after this for a while, perfecting their craft. And last year, man, I mean, that would make a wonderful jack-o'-lantern, wouldn't it? Oh, my goodness. It's interesting, though, to think about that big pumpkin. How many seeds did it take to produce that one pumpkin? One seed, right? One seed. But if you ever cleaned out a pumpkin, you know that although that pumpkin came from one seed, inside of it is not just one seed. How many seeds? Multitude, right? Many, many, many seeds. Hundreds of seeds. It's estimated that inside that 2,800-pound pumpkin is 800 seeds. And every one of those has the potential of being another pumpkin. Y'all, I know my math is weak. I may have miscalculated a few things already in some of my numbers here, all right? But that, I believe, is 800-fold harvest. That would be an 800-fold harvest. I wonder, could God do this in our 20? Could he bring that kind of harvest right here in our 20? Listen, we should expect God to bring a multifold harvest here if we will embrace our calling as a gospel seed sower, scatter gospel seed indiscriminately, refuse to be discouraged by places of fruitlessness, and trust him for the abounding produce. Man, God tells us, expect great things, but get after it that those great things might come about. Here's the final prayer as you think about what God might do right here in our area. May we see the fruit of our labor and give all glory